Lecture 9, Playing with the Illusion of Perfect Health. This is the Santa's Gift Program to Me seminar, How I Train My Genie Stem Cells. Playing with the Illusion of Perfect Health. We're going to cover, I have fun dreaming what perfect health means to me. I visualize every cell of my body perfect, ideal. I imagine why I was created perfect. You know, you heard that. Why I was created perfect. I see all creation being perfect health. Smile. Okay. I imagine why I was created perfect. Very interesting, isn't it? Okay. Think about that. I have fun dreaming what perfect health means to me. What does perfect health mean to me? Ellen, what does the word "the" mean?
Something determined.
What?
The,
T-H-E. T-H-E.
Yeah, something determined, specific.
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 Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else got another addition to that?
The only one.
Yeah, I guess the only one. But the ideal, the only ideal, the ideal,
the one,
which transcends all, what do you call it, copies, and the other copies are not the ideal. Now, what is your ideal health? You don't know. You have no idea. But what is your ideal health? It is a number of things as far as you're concerned. Feeling good? Being in balance?
Vital, active.
Speak again.
I am vital, active.
I am vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, active, yes. Now, when I walk up the hill, coming from my place to the monastery, I'm walking up the hill and I'm saying, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. My chin is up, my chest is out, and I feel just wonderful. And my body just feels great. There is not one tiredness, there is not one feeling of, oh, I'm trudging up a hill here. There's not one feeling of anything. Just a feeling of floating, a feeling of going. Now, what is that?
It shows that you are healthy.
Is that you're answering my question? That is an indication that I'm healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I say I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. What does that do?
The same.
The same thing. I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. Now, can you say to cancer, I like you, I'm, you're divine order, you're peace. Can you say that?
No, you don't say it to cancer.
You can say it, but you shouldn't. I mean, you can say it, but if you say it, you're empowering the cancer to have existence. Now, someone has cancer in your life. And so you say to them that cancer is in divine order and working perfectly. Right?
No.
No?
No.
Well, what the devil do you say?
You're whole and perfect.
I am whole.
Hmm?
Well.
Yeah, just go ahead, go ahead. You're whole and perfect.
Yeah.
And?
And it's done.
Don't they say to you, can't you see? I got a problem?
Well, that's because I haven't said before I'm whole and perfect.
And why didn't you say that before that you're whole and perfect? Why didn't you say that?
That's important.
But why didn't you say that?
Oh, I didn't.
You forgot one little rule of your life.
That
you are at all times, under all circumstances, a practitioner. And the practitioner first heals himself relative to whatever they are experiencing in their life and see it done. Okay? Now, how can you see someone with cancer happy and whole and perfect? That's not difficult. Now tell me, how can you see someone with cancer? What?
I don't, because if I'm a practitioner and I'm holistic perfect,
Ellen,
see what I am.
I say, how can you see someone who is hurting with cancer and dying with cancer and so forth and see that as good or something? What you say is, I am a practitioner. I see all in divine order. I see everything perfect right now. I see all in divine order right now. I see everything perfect right now. But don't you see this? I am a practitioner. I see all in divine order right now. I am a practitioner. I see all in divine order right now. You do not miss a beat. You speak your word continuously and all the time, knowing that the truth of who you are. That you speak your word and you say, all is in divine order. Now, can you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what was your first thought when the dog came running in?
That he wants attention.
Oh, yeah, he wants attention. That he always wants. But did he get it?
Oh, yes.
Now, was he mean or hateful in any way? What did he do? He brought his super self in, his vibrant self. Here I am, guys. I just came in from outdoors. I've been outdoors. I've been outside the house. I've been running around the yard. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that? And what did Rex say?
Oh, I have to check it out.
I got
to
check it out. See what made him so happy out there. And he went out there to check it out, didn't he? Yeah. And that's just what he did. But can you see? Can you see how these things function?
Yeah.
When I was visiting with my brother-in-law, Bill, who was having a problem, what did I say to him?
You're whole and perfect.
I said, I see you whole and perfect. I see every organ, action, function of your body whole and perfect. I see you one. I love you, I love you, I love you. I see you whole and perfect. He got a sarcastic look on his face, you know? And I said, you can't kid me. You can't kid me. You know exactly what you're doing, and you're doing all the things you're doing just for a reason. But they don't enter into my life. I have no concern. I'm a cold fish for you, but I love you. You know what I mean? And everybody else soon started having a totally different attitude about everything. What did Marie say about my visit?
That it was the uplifting and the perfect time that you came.
And what did Tim say? Same thing.
Yeah.
They all said my being there was what was needed. Now, I wasn't doing a lot of things. I was doing a lot of things, you know, thinking my right thought and seeing him whole and perfect and seeing him at peace with himself, seeing him at peace with the world, and releasing him to whatever his choice may be. Now, he could have snapped like that, enjoyed perfect health again, if he chose to. But he built up a program for himself, and he wanted to follow through on it. And that's okay. That's okay. You see, to want to change your mind after you've been doing it one way for a long time is rather difficult. Because you think, what would people think if I didn't die? Or what would people think if I did die? You know, remember that from Irene? Yeah. And this is what we're worried about, what other people think. Who cares? Who cares? And what did my sister say about their marriage? It was the greatest marriage that anyone could have ever had. Because they did things together that at the time she really didn't appreciate they were doing. She enjoyed it, but she didn't appreciate it. She didn't appreciate that many people would love to do that, but couldn't. They couldn't. Many people have to get married once or twice or three times before they find someone who's fun to do things with, you know. But what are they changing? When they're getting different mates, what they're doing is they're perhaps changing themselves a little bit. Because they think, why fight it? I'll flow with it. And they flow with it. And then beautiful things happen. You see, this is what you want to say. You want to have this attitude of your mind. I have fun dreaming what perfect health means to me. Now, what does perfect health mean to you? You say, the ideal health, the ideal me, the ideal I am. Do you ever say that? Do you ever say that?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
The ideal.
You say my ideal.
No, the ideal of new, that's the newest.
Well, that's the new one, yeah. How long have you been saying the ideal?
Since yesterday.
Since yesterday. At least you're honest about it. Okay, but yes, we want to get our ribbons in order here, you know. And we have a tendency to say the sun, the God, the light. Now, what does it need? What are we doing when we take away my ideal self?
The possession.
And what are we doing when we have the ideal self?
Universal concept.
What is the universal concept? If I say to you, the north wind and the south wind, the wind...
It's wind, yeah.
The God of all creation.
Yeah, but when you use the word ideal, to use the word ideal alone is a little strange.
Go ahead.
You can say I have ideal health.
What are your ideals? Are your ideals your finest and your best?
Yeah.
Okay. Then your ideal health? It's the finest and best you understand. But the ideal health is like saying it's an area you don't really know too much about, as we said yesterday, but we don't really know too much about it. But how do we experience the ideal health? How do you experience, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace, and experience health? How do you, I mean, you're not even saying health in there. How do you experience perfect health?
It's included in the package.
All right. It's included in the package. All right. But how do you know that? Because I told you. Or you told yourself.
One time or the other, you surely did.
That's quite true.
No, you can't. Just are it. You don't know it.
You don't know it.
You just are it.
That's right, you are it.
And
that's the beauty of it. Because then you can't mess it up.
No. You can make a picture of it.
That's right. You cannot improve upon the fact of what you are. Now, are you divine?
Yes.
Are you God?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You're God. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You're God? Yes. Isn't that wonderful? And are you good?
Very good.
Why not? Are you bad? Why not?
Very good.
What do the kids say? That's a bad hat saying that's very good. They're teaching us a lesson. You know, but we learn so slowly sometimes, you know. Kids have a vernacular that tries to turn things all around. Gertrude, what is the language that kids used, at least American kids, used to like to speak? Pig Latin. You know what Pig Latin is? They're trying to talk so no one understands what they're saying. And they're using phrases. It doesn't come to me at the moment, but phrases like... Icky picky poo, you know what I mean? You've heard it?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
Can you elucidate on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk about that for a minute? Loud?
Gotta be the boo. Daddy doo da.
See? Every language.
Yeah.
Every language. And they don't want anyone to understand what they're saying. And why are they using this Pig Latin? Because they're trying to be cute. They're trying to be funny.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
No.
You haven't lived, I tell you.
Yeah, really, have you heard that?
And, Gertrude, have you heard of Esperanto?
Yeah.
That's a universal language they try to develop.
Never came through. No.
You've heard of that?
Yeah, but then it never came through.
No, no, it doesn't matter whether it came through or not. It's that people try to develop it.
Yeah.
You know. That's a good idea. He jumps in circles trying to catch his tail, and he sits down and he gets a hold of his tail. Now, you see, he's using his head. He's using wisdom. Now, I have fun dreaming what perfect health means to me. Now, what does perfect health mean to you? Christina, what does perfect health mean to you? Have a happy body, yeah? Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. Say it out loud so our microphone can hear it.
Happy body.
Yeah, have a happy body. And what did Anita write under the Tigger?
I have a happy body.
Right, Anita?
Yes.
I have a healthy body?
I have a happy body.
I have a happy body. Now, she's hung up on the word happy, isn't she? Mm-hmm. She has a dog named Happy. She had all these things. Happy, happy, happy. It's wonderful. Now, what about that? What about that? What does a happy body mean to Anita? Ingeborg?
I would say I am happiness.
That's good too.
The body.
Oh, you're gonna leave out the body, yeah? Well, that's a good trick too. But I am happy is fine.
Body is myself.
That's included. That's included in I am happy, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. These are all good ideas, and they're all powerful ideas. Let's flow with them and enjoy. I visualize every cell of my body perfect, ideal. How can you visualize every cell of your body perfect, Ellen?
By having a perfect attitude.
Ellen, when you are bubbling over with happiness, when you are just giggling with happiness, when you are so overjoyed by what your family has done or what your students have done, you come running into my office and you say, Herb, look what Dolores Cheeks wrote. Look what she wrote. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this wonderful? You're just like, bubble, 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 bubble. What is your body doing?
Spit and vinegar.
Is what?
Vibrating. Vibrating.
Vibrating.
Invigorated.
Invigorated. Thank you. It's wonderful.
Every cell of her body is perfect.
Well, that's fine, but every cell of her body is involved.
Yeah.
Did you go on to the next one there? Yeah, I thought you did. When she comes walking into my office, dancing into my office, and she's singing and she's saying, look at this, look at how beautifully she has encapsulated all these thoughts that we've been reading about all year long and made it into her thesis. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? Well, it is. It is. I, the editor, look at it and see a few improvements that can be added to it, but it is good. It is perfectly good. If nobody touched it, anyone would understand exactly what she was saying. And it was well done. Now, if Ellen felt this way, how do you think Dolores felt? I mean, she transmitted her bubbles, her enthusiasm, her joy, right through her words, right through her computer. And Ellen's computer was there. Ellen, come on, come on, come on now, come on, come on, Ellen, I'll read this stuff, Ellen. And, you know, it sends out all sorts of signals to her, and she gets all bubbly, and she gets all excited, she gets all goosebumps up and down her arms. She's just a fantastic experience, you know. Now, who else does that to you? Student. Other letters you've had come in.
Oh, well, the monks in the monastery in Miami.
Yeah. Okay. But don't think about it so. Just know it. Because you feel it. You were going to say something?
No.
That's good. Okay, now, remember, what is it that you got on your mind? What is it that gives you, as we say here, I visualize every cell of my body perfect or ideal? Was Ellen visualizing every cell of her body perfect and ideal when she bubbled over?
Yes.
Did she know what she was doing?
No.
Was she enjoying it?
Yep.
But Ellen, remember what we just said here. You didn't know what you were doing. You just lived in that...
Bubbling.
Yeah, but there's another word for it. I've got it in my mind already, but anybody else? You lived in that entheos enthusiasm. Entheos is in God. You lived in that enthusiasm. And wasn't that wonderful? Now, Ellen?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ilsa.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ilsa. When you say that, and you know that you read her letter, or you read her thesis, and it just tickles you pink, and you vibrate with great enthusiasm, and you bubble, your body bubbles up with all that joy, all the goosebumps all over you, just be alive. Ellen, I would sleep on that. I would put it on a tape and have a continuous tape, and I would have it playing at my bedside and listen and listen and listen. Not because of necessarily what she says, which is good too, but how she says it. How she wraps these concepts in words, and you feel she's getting across, and you feel she likes herself. And you see, your own body then is perfect. Now, Ellen, what is there so healing about a dog or a cat? If you take the dog or cat to a hospital and you let the old folks or you let the ill people touch the dog or cat, and then right away they feel an electricity coming into their body. They don't know it, but electricity coming into their body. You think static electricity from the dog's hair, you know. No, electricity. And they just, oh. What did May feel when she took that puppy?
Oh, she felt the vibration of love of the little
Remember?
Dog. Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, someone was blind, but actually, she felt it. She got the message. She got the message. And as long as she held that puppy in her lap, she was just alive.
Yeah.
Her body did not have any problems that period of time. You see, we let go. That's why taking animals to hospital is so wonderful. That's why, Ellen, anytime you have a hang-up about anything, you pick up little Love and you cuddle him. And you feel his soothing, healing, wonderful vibrations. It's really great. Really. I think everyone should have a pet. Preferably an animal. But sometimes you have human pets too. But human pets aren't the same. They're just not the same. Could you get the same feeling of joy out of anybody else other than Luna? Luna's very special, isn't she? Yes?
Yeah.
And the same with Little Love. I can't imagine anybody liking Little Love, but Ellen does, you know. Yes, think about it.
The cats, when I come into the garage, mainly in the morning.
Blackie?
Both.
Oh.
Magic and
Magic.
Spot. They are
spot.
Hungry. But before the hunger, they want to be caressed.
And do you caress them?
Do you
caress them?
Yes.
All right, now, stop a minute and listen to my question. When you caress them, do you feel the magic of their blessing power, their balancing power, their healing power, their joy power? You feel that? I would think you'd hold them all the time. But no, you feel that. Now, we don't take advantage of that. We don't take advantage as much because the cat, the dogs, they don't mind. They don't mind because he would let you pet him all day long.
Yeah.
And he'd never get tired. And he'd say, my hair is wearing off, but go at it. It doesn't bother me. But you see, this is what it's all about. We have these vibrations and this energy that is so powerful, and it is a healing awareness. When doctors go in and say to the patient, my goodness, you made a great improvement. They open their eye, you know. You made a great improvement. I'm so proud of you. My, I'm looking forward to more improvements. What would they say? The people improving would feel wonderful. But the doctors say, I got to tell you the truth. You're on your last leg, you know. In two more days, you're going to be gone. So be at peace. Thanks a lot, doctor. That's just what I needed, you know. But the doctor, if he says, you're making great improvement. And the person says, Gee, I didn't think I was, but if he says I am, maybe I am. Maybe I am. You straighten up, you know, and you look right. But this is so beautiful. And this is what we want to do. Now, each one of you, have the power within you that your pet has. And you can do that for yourself. Every time you speak your word and say you are whole and perfect, you are giving yourself this vibratory massage. Every time you give yourself the energy massage, gently going over your skin with your fingers and saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. You're using that energy, that powerful energy, to accomplish whatever you want. Now, do you want to be whole and perfect?
I am.
You want to be whole and perfect?
I am.
You am. That's good. If you am whole and perfect, why did you answer me?
Because you said, do you want to?
Why did you answer me? Did that question fit you? No! The question didn't fit you. If you am, then you are not wanting something. You're not. Don't answer a question that's not for you. Do you want to be whole and perfect? You don't answer that question. You just say, it's so wonderful to be whole and perfect. It's so wonderful to be my divine self. I feel so good. You understand me?
Yeah.
The world wants to trick you into thinking its own stinking thinking, you know? And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And they say, well, Christina, I saw you last week, and my God, you look great now. But what was wrong with you last week? And you say, I am great. But what was wrong with you last week? Well, I feel so wonderful. What was wrong with you last week? I don't know of any other time than now. I don't know what you're talking about. I feel great. She doesn't remember it. She doesn't think about it. She doesn't empower yesterday. She empowers today with her thought today. You understand? And if we empower yesterday, then we give it the right to exist. And is that what you want to do? Is that what you want to do? No. You want to be in today and be perfect today. Now, I talked with a number of people who had been, like my brother-in-law Bill, in construction business, and they had torn down old houses that had asbestos in it, you know, the original asbestos. And so they got it in their lungs and stuff. Well, most of them didn't know it. And they were robust people, and they breathed deep, and they liked to play and run and dance and jump and stuff, and they were just fantastic. And then other people, they told them that they had this, and they should sue the government, and they should sue this and sue that, get money for it. Well, they sued, and they got negative attitudes. They thought about it, and they believed they had it, and then they died, and then their family got the money that they sued for. Well, now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I think the family would have rather had them, you know, in all truth, because the money just goes fast. And it's money that didn't belong to them. It belonged to him, or her, whoever it was. But you see, this is what we do. We have our false attitudes about life and everything. Now, I imagine why I was created perfect. Any comment? I imagine why I was created perfect.
I imagine my perfection.
What's that, please?
I imagine my perfection.
You master your perfection?
No, I imagine... Oh, no. Yes, I imagine my perfection.
I imagine why I was created perfect. I imagine my perfection. I am my perfection, but to imagine it, it seems like it's something in process, you know.
Yeah.
But my statement was, I imagine why I was created perfect, why somebody else created me perfect, why something created me perfect. Who creates us?
I.
We do. You see, that was is a kicker word. It gets you off base. Because you are created perfect. It's not that you was, not that you were, you will be, or even that you are. But you're an is. You is perfect. Grammar sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You is perfect. Okay. I see all creation being perfect health. Ellen, why would you see all creation perfect health? Hmm?
Because I am perfect health.
And why are you perfect health?
Because I am all creation.
Ooh, you are all creation, huh? When did that happen?
Since now.
Hmm?
Since now, this very moment.
Hmm? The word is immer. The word is always.
From the beginning, yes?
Yeah, you always were, are, and will be, and you now are, but and you live in the now. That's true. Your thinking was correct in thinking now, but you say, I am perfection. Always was, always will be. Now, we want to get away from the always was and always will be, because that's past and present and future tense. We want to live in the realization of the now. Are you perfect health?
Yep.
Now, I want to conclude this part of our talk with this concept. People come to me and they say, Herb, I want to tell you about my problem. And I say, go right ahead. And they talk. And then they say to me, Herb, you're not hearing a word I'm saying, are you? And I say, no. Well, why not? I want to tell you my problem. Well, do you want me to know your problem, or do you want me to work with you on your solution? Well, it's so nice for me to get it off my chest, and get it off my chest and put it on somebody else's chest, get it off my heart and put it on somebody else's heart. Isn't that what we think and do? How silly, silly, silly that is. You don't take your doctor and give him your garbage. You take your doctor and say, Doctor, I want to experience my wholeness and perfection. What must I do to experience it? And he says, take a pill, go home, call me in the morning. No? Or he doesn't say, call me. He says, call my answering service. Now, what is he saying? And this is
calm
what...
down.
I'm sorry?
Calm down.
Calm down. Yes. But what is he saying? What's that?
You're whole and perfect.
He is saying you're whole and perfect. He's saying, calm down, you're whole and perfect. Be at peace. But he can't say that. Mm-hmm. That's not good for business. You know? Now, if you are a doctor... and you are maximizing your practice, and you have 30, 40 people a day come through your office. That's a lot. You give them 5 minutes, 20 minutes. You're supposed to give them so long, but you charge for a full half hour, and you give them 10 minutes, you know. And then you process them, zip, 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 and your secretary gets these paperwork all done. And you have to make them feel, do you have time to read up on the pharmaceuticals that are out on the market? Do you have time to read up on what is acceptable and what's not acceptable? What do you have to do? You have to listen to the pharmaceutical salesman who comes in and gives you a pitch. And what's the pharmaceutical salesman going to say to you? He's going to say, this works, that works, the other thing works. And so what do? You give it to your patient. You read the instructions, which says this is deleterious to your health as well as other things. You know, this has side effects and it can be harmful. But what do? What you do is you put your life in the hands of a person who is so busy, he doesn't have time to keep up on the current medical practices. My son had a problem, and he worked on it. He went on the net and he found out all the details and he found out everything that he needed to know. Then he went to his flying doctor friend and he told his flying doctor friend what he was doing. And his flying doctor said, oh my gosh, I didn't know all that. I didn't know all those things. My goodness, is that what's happening now? Wow, I thought I was up on top of everything. You know, I thought my pharmaceutical people were telling me everything and keeping me up to date. All they were doing is keeping me up to date on their products, which is natural, you know. And so... he was just amazed what Mark had to say and how Mark had to say it and how aware he was of these things. And then he said, yes, you're right. He says, those things are not helping you, they're hurting you. And he says, you follow whatever your judgment tells you to follow. Because he was his friend, not his doctor. And that made a big difference. Now, would we like all practitioners to be our friend? Well, let me offer you a suggestion. Be your own friend. And listen within what your doctor within has to tell you. And when you do that, you will most of the time come up correct. But the doctor within you does not prescribe drugs. The doctor within you does not prescribe any medicine. If you have a toxic condition in your body and you're near death even, all you need to do is change your thought about yourself. The toxic condition is gone. You're not near death any longer. You're total life. And everything works out in perfect harmony. Now, I'm not kidding you. We all play the game. Now, what would you like to do? Would you like to live in perfect health? Like our statement is here for ourselves. Would you like to live in perfect health? If you do, then playing with the illusion of perfect health, how do you do it? Do you go and take the right foods? Is Anita so smart because she's vegetarian? Are we so smart because we're eating meat or whatever? Is Ingeborg so smart because she eats because it's there? And that's great, you know? And what is it? Is Sylvia so smart because she doesn't eat when people are around her? You know? Is that so smart? And that's not dumb, it's smart or anything, but what is smart? What is smart is to see yourself whole and perfect and live in that consciousness. When Ellen showed me Dolores' letter, Dolores' mail, her essay, her thesis, Ellen was alive. If Ellen would have been able to think, my body, like that, any ache, pain, or problem in her body, that thesis would have done it because she was just bubbly all over. Do you understand me? Now, do each of you have some bubbly experiences like that? Sure you do. But you run away from them. You say, oh, that was so nice, that was so nice. Yeah, well, now back to business. That's the business. The bubbly is the business, and it's not champagne. The bubbly is the business. And you want to get those bubbles in and around and through and on you and over you and under you all the time. So perhaps you would like a copy of Dolores' letter. It means more to us because we have seen her evolve. But we're reading into it a lot of wonderful achievements. But it is great. Find something like that. Find something. And when you find something, and it's you, wow, is it great. It is super fantastic. You are just amazing. And I see each one of you living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. I see each one of you healthy, healthy as can be. I see each one of you vibrating with energy and power and unlimited. I see each one of you with energy that gives you the power to run up and down hills as you like, to walk with a briskness and a freshness and an attention to the majesty that's within you. Each one of you has the grace of the queen. Each one of you has the knowledge of the prince. Each one of you is fantastic. Now, are you ready, willing, and able to handle that? I think you are. I spanked you enough, but at the same time, I've given you this wonderful, wonderful gift of knowing this here, because that's who you really are. Because you really are wonderful. Okay, we will have Sylvia tonight. She's coming at 4:45, and that will give us time to to do great things. And tomorrow it's Ingeborg, and then Anita, and then Gertrude and Christina, and then
me.
Ellen. This is pre-established. They're leaving sometime. We'll have you in there.
Right.
Now, Ellen?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever had a chance to be with me over the past couple of weeks and months and years? Okay, then don't say, hey, me.
No,
I appreciate that you... I took you out. I told you I was taking you out.
I know, I didn't get it.
Oh, yes. I said I forgot to put Anita in there.
Yeah.
And so I put her in your place.
Ah, all right.
Now, I could have put her in Christina or Gertrude's place. Who would you like me to put it in? Christina or Gertrude?
No.
Oh, no. You can come the next day.
All right.
So that is on Tuesday. So Wednesday, I'm with you.
Wednesday is what date?
That's the 2nd of January.
Okay.
You're in town?
No, that's it.
What?
On the 3rd, I am in town.
Well, then, 2nd is clear.
It's fine.
See how wonderful that is?
Yes.
Yeah. But Ellen, and all of you, never think you're being cheated out of anything because you're not put into a spot. Because always know that you're the best, and you're number one, and you're never cheated out of anything. And as Gertrude knows, we sat and talked. And we said great things. And we talked on the way home. And we talked on the way there. We talked everywhere. And Christina was sitting in the back seat, and she was listening with her eyes closed. You know? Right? Yeah. And Anita was sitting in the back seat too, I think. And she was sitting there ready to interpret for Ingeborg, Gertrude whenever she needed it. But she didn't need it, did she? And you think that... Anita thought she was being cheated?
No.
No way. She had me on the way down, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you had me at dinner. And you had me after dinner. You had me during the fireworks. You had me in Costco. You had me in IKEA. You had me in Lowe's. You had me everywhere. Hey, sounds great, doesn't it? Okay. We shall see you at supper time. And we shall have a wonderful dinner together.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you.
We're having what?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. How wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.